Take your Bibles, turn to Lamentation chapter 3. Lamentation is the book next to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. By the way, I want to tell you guys something. You guys need to make sure you don't sleep when the preacher's preaching. Some of you guys have been terrible this week about sleeping during the preaching. You got to go to bed at night. You got to go to bed. Some of you guys have a hard time at church because you're not going to bed at night. You got to get some sleep, man. You can't do it. And you're missing out on some good stuff. We've had a couple girls, but I've seen more guys than girls, and that's not great leadership. These girls are looking for you, all right? All right, I want to talk to you today. I talked to the girls yesterday about being the right kind of lady and how to be a godly lady, how to look like a godly lady, act like a godly lady, and they did awesome. They had a great response. They helped me out with some answers, and I'll get you to do me the same thing today. I want to talk to you today about the most dangerous drug of our day. What do you think it is? What do you think it is? Weed? Somebody's marijuana? Yes? The devil? He's not really a drug. Yeah. Meth? Meth's terrible. Methamphetamines? Yes. Cocaine? Terrible. Terrible. Yes. What is it? I don't know what that is. Oh, pill? Like pills? Bunch of drugs together in pills? Okay. Oxycontin is a bad one. Do you guys have... bath soap here, or is it bath soap? Is that called bath salts? Yeah, that's bad at home. Bad stuff. Bad. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah. You know that's not the most dangerous, though. It's not the most dangerous. I'm going to give you a drug today that I think is impacting more people in Canada, the United States, and really the world than any other drug. I'm sure you've heard of it. There's an epidemic drug. Drug craze sweeping the world. Unlike crack or meth, the effects, though highly stimulating, are seemingly invisible. I understand that if you use meth just one time, they say that there's really very few people, if any, that are able to overcome the addiction properties of meth, because it releases so many endorphins from your brains. That drug endorphin is the one that makes you have that really happy, pleasurable thing you can't hardly get over that. I've got something that I think is as bad or worse than that. There are few in this room that have not had at least one hit of this drug. There could be a few, but I think that most have had a hit of this drug. And you say, well, Brother Stone, I've never done drugs. Well, let's see. Most keep it closely guarded while others flaunt it. Most people would keep it hidden from parents and maybe friends and especially church people. But there are some who brag on it when they're with their buddies. They brag on it at school, maybe in the locker room. They'd brag on it. It has done more to destroy homes than almost any other drug that I know of today. Once taken, it almost always addicts immediately. One time taken in. Now, I'll tell you this, that if you see the drug, that doesn't do it. If you even linger a little at that drug, it doesn't do it. But once you take it in, it's an addictive property that really has a tough time being broken. Though not exclusively used by men, it is the drug of choice of men for sure. That drug is pornography. Pornography. I want to tell you today, boys, we have a huge, huge problem today in our countries and really around the world with pornography. It is so devastating today. I've dealt more with pornography in the life of my people than anything else as a pastor. Can you imagine that? I'm talking more than spousal abuse. I'm talking more than drugs, more than alcohol abuse. I'm dealing more with pornography. And I'll tell you this, I am amazed. Wake that guy up right there in the white shirt. Sit up. Don't fall asleep today, man. This is important. You need this. I know you're tired. If you got to stand up, stand up. I want you to hear what I'm going to tell you today. This is the most important thing I'm going to tell you guys this week. It is going to save you. It is going to save you a world of hurt if you'll listen to what I'm telling you. I'm going to be very open with you today. I'm going to be very honest with you today. I'm going to talk to you as a man. Let's set the preacher down for a minute. Let me just speak to you as a man. Man to man. Man to man. Can I do that? Say yes. You'll listen to me as a man. Okay? You'll take what I'm saying as an older man, all right? I'm dealing more with that problem of pornography than anything else in my ministry. And if you've not seen it, I'm telling you, unless carefully guarded, you will. Now, would you be honest with me this morning? You want to help me with something? I'm going to be very honest with you. How many of you have ever seen a picture or a video or an image on a computer or something in a magazine? You have seen something that's pornographic. Now, let me define that. That's an image of a woman who has nothing on. All right? That is more than one person. How many of you have seen something like that? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I'm raising my hand with you. Put your hands down. How many have never seen something like that? This young man. Anybody else? Good. God bless you. You two guys, I'm telling you, unless you keep it very, very, very guarded, it's going to happen. So let's be real. What happens when it does happen? That's the problem. Most of us, we never talk about this, do we? Nobody talks about this openly. I mean, it's almost a joke. It's almost a badge of honor. Hey, I saw something I shouldn't see. Do you know that God's intended for man not to see those things until he gets married? God wants you to keep your eyes and your mind focused on your wife. Now, I will tell you this, and this is what a lot of guys think. Once I get married, then I'll never have a problem with that again. That's not true. It's almost worse after you're married. You know why? Because like Adam, once you've tasted of the forbidden fruit, once you've had that physical relationship, man, you want more. It's a drug, man. I mean, it's incredible, the drawing that it has. And I had a guy in my church say this. He said, Pastor, why doesn't God turn that switch off when you get married? Why doesn't he make it so that when you get married, you never want to look at another girl, you never want to try to see something you shouldn't? Why doesn't he do that? I don't know. I wish he did. I really do. I mean, because as a man, and even as a married man, I'm walking down the street. Let's be honest, guys. There's a lot of girls that don't dress very good. Come on. You know it, right? And to be honest, I don't like it, but my flesh does. I told the girls yesterday, and you tell me if I'm wrong, there's not a man in this room, if not given the opportunity to see something of a woman that he shouldn't see, if he's given the opportunity, he's going to try and see it. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. Hey, I'm with you. Man, I tell these girls, please cover up. Dress down. Don't wear it too tight because we battle that. Hey, I've gotten to know you guys this week. You know what I think about you guys? I think the majority of the guys in this room really do want to live for the Lord, and you really do want to be pleasing to God, but you struggle every day, and especially with that thing. It used to be that rock music was a huge problem amongst young people. I have more young people come to me now. As I travel and speak to youth groups, I've had probably 90% of the guys that come to a youth meeting like this come to me and say, Brother Stone, I am struggling with pornography. Because once you see it, once you get that glimpse, and you realize what that is, that endorphin is released. Just like the drugs, you're hooked. You've got to see more. Am I telling the truth or not? And man, it's so easy today. It's so easy. It's everywhere. How do I, as a Christian, how do I, as a man, how do I, as a preacher, keep myself? I got to tell you what, more preachers are falling out of the ministry because of pornography than anything else. I'll tell you, part of it's because as a Christian, we're very close. We have a very close relationship with one another. We have a very close relationship. We're around the ladies all the time. We have that very family-loving kind of mentality. And I have begged our ladies, I have begged these ladies, please be careful. I want you to know there were some girls here today that did not hear what I said yesterday. They didn't get it. Some of them are going to go home, and they're not going to get it. How many of you have a sister? Oh, man. Would you do me a favor? Would you help your sister? Now, you got to do this very tactfully because she'll get mad at you. You've got to say to your sister, Sister, please don't wear that. Because you know what guys think about girls, don't you? So do I. Do you really want some other guy thinking about your sister the way you thought about that other girl? No. Then why do we think about some other guy's sister that way? Here's something that'll help you. I had a guy tell me this one time. When you look at a woman, number one, look at her eyes. Number two, look at her as if she's your sister, because all of these girls that are here and saved, they're your sister in Christ. You're going to look at your sister like you look at that other girl and think the thoughts you've got of your sister? Oh, gross. I've got a sister too. I got girls. I got a wife. I tell my girls and my wife, you're not wearing that. You're not wearing that. I don't want some guy looking at you that way. I don't want some guy thinking that way. Now, here's what girls think. They think, well, guys shouldn't think that way. How many of you have ever heard a girl say that? You know, the only problem is, humanly, physically, we can't help it. God made us that way. God made us with that desire to see one. He did that so that we'd be drawn to them, so that we'd want to marry them and have that relationship. But at the same time, the Spirit then says, once you have found that woman, once you have found that girl, you've got to turn away. You've got to turn those things off. The hard part is when you're a young man and there's hormones racing through our bodies and you are drawn to that, how do we keep ourselves from going too far? How do we stop ourselves once we have been introduced to that thing called pornography? Well, I want to show you. Look at Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 51. It's a great verse. We're going to look at just the first part. Lamentation 3:51. If you've got it, I want you to read it with me if you have it, all right? Some of you guys don't have your Bibles. You got to have your Bibles, man, at camp. You got to have your Bible. Lamentation 3:51. Let's read it together. Just the first part. It says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Say that with me. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Everybody, nice and loud. Mine eye affecteth my heart. You know what that means? Do you know what that means? It means what I see has an impact on who I am. What I see has an impact on what I do. How many of you, I've asked that question. Let me ask you this. How many of you have seen a pornographic image more than once? Raise your hand. All right, good. Not good, but I'm glad that you answered honestly. Thank you. My first introduction to pornography came when I went to a workmate's house, and he showed me what his mom and dad had gotten him for his birthday. It was a Playboy magazine. Now, some of you will know what that is, some of you don't. That was a magazine. I don't know if it's as popular today, but back in the day, in the 70s, I mean, it was a magazine full of pictures of women that weren't dressed. And he said, hey, look what I got. And he flashed that thing open, and for the very first time in my life, I was 15 years old. For the very first time, I saw that which I should not have seen. I quickly closed the book and said, hey, man, I don't want to see that. And I walked away. But you know what? I've never forgotten that. You know, isn't it sad that our mind holds on to the things that we shouldn't see and know better than the things we should? How many of you remember that picture that you saw? How many of you remember the memory verses this week? Some of them. How come we can remember that picture that one time way back then, but we can't remember the verses that we had in front of us this week? The mind clings to those things. So mine eye affecteth my heart or my mind, my life. Since then, I have suffered through the horrors of getting pop-ups, emails, and embarrassment of walking into businesses where bad pictures were posted. I got a tire one time went, and so I went into the tire shop, and the guy said, I've got one here in the back. And I walked into that back room where they kept their tires, and the whole place was plastered with pictures of naked women. Now, as a Christian, what do you do? I mean, man, I put my head down. I'm walking around with my head down, bumping into things, trying not to look up, and talking to the guy with my head down. He must have thought I was nuts. But I thought, man, I can't look at those things. In the flesh, I wanted to, but I knew I couldn't. As a preacher, I don't want to see that. As a husband, I don't want to see that. As a father, I don't want to see that. If my girls ever saw me look at that, if my wife ever saw me look at that, man, it'd be devastating to them. And so I keep my head down and suffer through that thing. But, hey, fellas, it's everywhere. You've been in a locker room. You've been at some guy's bedroom. You've been in a shop. You've been surfing the internet, and bam, there it is. So let's not kid around about it today. Let's get very serious about it today. And say, what are we going to do about that? I'll tell you this. Now you listen to me carefully. If some of those girls knew that you had seen that, and especially if you had looked it up to see it, would want absolutely nothing to do with you. They'd say you're a pig and you're vile. But yet they'll dress to draw your attention. kind of a catch-22. I'll dress suggestively, or I'll wear those things that draw your attention to me, but I don't want you to be drawn to that attention. It's a sad cycle. But fellas, the truth of the matter is, if you're thinking, I want to get me a good Christian girl who loves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord, and she finds out that you've been involved in that stuff, you're done. So what do? You start the day to say, no more. I'm going to cleanse my mind. I'm going to cleanse my heart. I'm going to get that stuff away from me. And I'm, from this day, going to say, I'm not doing that anymore. Now I'm telling you what, it's going to be the fight of your life. The fight of your life. I tell you, you think wrestling against another guy here trying to pull a tube away is a fight? Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, the devil's going to put it in front of you every day, every day, every day. Somehow, he's going to bring the thought up. He's going to let you see something. He's going to let you remember something. You're going to fight the fight of your life, but you can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What makes pornography so popular? Well, I'll tell you, it's very available. It is the number one list of sites on the internet. There's not another product, there's not another company that has any more than pornography sites. What makes porn so popular is it's seemingly free. Let's all stand up for a moment. Stand up. Stretch out a little bit. It's seemingly free. I mean, you guys know there are places where you can go and you don't pay for it. It's there. It's available. It's legal everywhere. There's not a place in the world where you can't go and dial that up on a phone or on a computer or buy it in a store. Hey, I know down here, not so much in Canada, it's a little less now, but there used to be a time when convenience stores would have that stuff, and they'd put them right out on the front shelf. You couldn't hardly walk into a convenience store. I had to quit going to a convenience store in Canada because they'd put them right on the front thing. And then they passed a law that they had to put them in the back, but they're still there. So, I mean, it's everywhere. You can be seated. Now, listen to this. This ought to shock you. Pornography time statistics. Every second, 60 seconds in a minute, every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography. Every second. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing pornography. Every second, 372 internet users are using search terms into search engines to find pornography. Every 39 minutes, I've been speaking now for about 20. Every 39 minutes, a new pornographic video is being created in the United States. The number one place for pornographic material produced, the United States of America. Number one site host of pornography, China. Every second. No wonder we're having a tough time with it. No wonder we're being bombarded with it all around us. The pornographic industry is larger, now listen to this, larger than the revenues of the top technological companies combined. So if you take all that Microsoft, all that Google, all that Amazon, all that eBay, all that Yahoo, all that Apple, all that Netflix, and all that Earthlinks makes together, the pornographic industry is making more. Why? Because men have an insatiable desire to have it. Because men are getting hooked on it. Because it has become a drug of choice among men today. The pornographic industry is huge. U.S. adults who regularly visit internet pornographic sites, 40 million. 40 million. Promise Keeper men. How many of you know what Promise Keepers is? Promise Keepers was a movement back in the 90s where churches got together and they had men come together and they had these huge rallies and they would get men to love their families and love their wives, and they made this pact that they were going to, you know, live a more pure life and they were going to have people that they'd be accountable to. And so Christians, this is a Christian organization. This is men who have determined to live for God. Listen to this. This is sad. Promise Keepers who viewed pornography at the time of this article, 53%. 53% in a week's time. So let's take this group this morning. We've got, 50 guys? So that would mean that 25 guys in this room in the last week outside of camp viewed pornography. Half. This half. Let's take this half. Guys, that's Christians. Christians who know that we ought not do it. Christians that know that we're supposed to keep our minds pure. In spite of the lack of formal research, the FBI's own statistics show that pornography is found at 80% of the scenes of violent sex crimes. 80%! So what's that tell you? What's it tell you? Tell me, what does that mean? If they're finding pornography at 80% of the sex crimes, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Fellas, let's think about it. If you're looking at that stuff all the time, and you're looking at a picture and looking at a picture and looking at a picture, after a while, don't you think it's going to translate to, I want to see that for real? And a guy, man, you know what it's like to get on the football field, the basketball court. Man, you're out there playing a game, and man, the adrenaline's running. You guys in that tube tug yesterday, the adrenaline was running. Man, you were going at it. You're pulling those. Man, you're jumping on guys. You're punching it, guys. Man, that adrenaline. You get that adrenaline going from what you're seeing, and you find a woman who you think is maybe interested or you think maybe will give you what you're longing for. What do? You take it. That's what happens. So you guys are starting on that stuff now and maybe becoming so addicted to that that you've got to act that out. There's an 80% chance you're going to end up doing something you shouldn't be doing. I think if I was doing something like that, I'd want to quit. Psychologists have identified a 5-step pattern to pornographic addiction. Number one, the first step is exposure. How many of you said you've seen something pornographic? Raise your hand. You're on the first step to becoming addicted to pornography, just having seen it. Here's the second thing. The second step is addiction. People who continually expose themselves to pornography keep coming back for more and more in order to get new sexual highs. Dr. James McCoff, University of California, says the experience at times or emotional or the arousal of it get locked into the brain by the chemical epinephrine and become virtually impossible to erase. Remember we just said a few minutes ago, how many of you can remember that image? I don't remember the exact image, but I remember sitting at that table and that book opening. I remember that. That's locked in my mind. And guys, every time you look, every time you go, locked in your mind. Those images are there and you can't erase them without the power of God. A third step is escalation. Previous experiences become more difficult to attain. Addicts therefore begin to look for more exotic, erotic forms of that behavior. So here's the same thing as cocaine. You try it, and man, it's so stimulating, you want to do it again. And it becomes so exciting, you want to do it again and again and again. And you want to find that high. With meth, you want to get to that place where, and what they say with meth is that the endorphins almost all are released. And it only happens one time. So that meth addict is trying to get that thing back. He's trying to have that same experience, and he'll never have it again. It's the same thing with pornography. The fourth step is desensitization. What was initially shocking becomes routine. Shocking and disgusting behavior is no longer avoided, but is sought out for more intense stimulation. So at first, you're ashamed. You think, oh, man, I shouldn't have looked at that. And then you say, well, if I just look one more time. And then you say, I got to have more. And you get to the place where you think, I got to have it. I don't know if I'll get caught. I don't think I'll get caught. And then, bam, it comes crashing down. The final thing is acting out the fantasies. Could I tell you that pornography is a fantasy? Could I tell you that watching people do the things that they should do in private is a fantasy? Could I tell you that those girls that are portraying those things is a fantasy? When you get married, your wife is not going to look like that girl that you've seen. She's not going to do it because that's disgusting to them. That's dirty to them. It's rude to them. That's not love to them. It's lust. I'm telling you guys, it's fake. It's not real. Ecclesiastes 2:10 says this, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from me. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor." Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. He says, guys, I could have anything I wanted, and I didn't withhold. Some of you guys need to withhold. Some of you guys need to say, I can't do it anymore. I've got to stop. I've got to get rid of those things. I've got to get rid of that computer in my room. I've got to get rid of that phone. I've got to get rid of that internet access, whatever it takes. You say, well, how do you live without that? We did it before we had those things. You can do it. Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it was said, in time of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery. Fellas, listen to me. when you look and that thought goes in your mind and you keep it in your heart, you've already committed the sin. You say, I never touch a girl that way. I never have that relationship outside of marriage. When you look at it and think about it, you've already done it. You've already committed the sin. See what I'm saying? Let's stand up for a minute. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Say that with me. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hey, it's not outside, boys. It's over here. Yeah. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What have you thought? What are you thinking about right now? Are you thinking, man, I can't wait to get home? Are you thinking, man, I wish this was over? As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. When you're looking at that thing or you're involved in that thing, what you're thinking is what you are. Let me ask you this. Look at me now. If you caught your dad looking at that stuff, what would you think of your dad? If you saw your grandpa looking at that stuff, what would you think of your dad? If you saw your little brother looking at that stuff, what would you think? If you saw your sister's husband looking at that stuff, what would you think? You'd think he's a dirty dog. I'd punch him in the mouth. But it's okay if we do it. It's all right if we think about that. You know what that's called? Hypocrisy. And hypocrisy is what? Lying. And lying is hypocrisy. You can be seated. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to read you a letter and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 7. Now I've talked about a lot about what it is, but here's how to deal with it. 1 Corinthians 7, 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Fellas, I have a policy at our church that we have little girls in our church, and I will, as their pastor, in public with their parents there, I will hug them and say, I love you. When that girl turns 12, I don't do that anymore. I just tell them. I say, honey, this is the last time. This is your 13th birthday. This is the last hug the pastor's going to give you. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I don't want some girl to ever say, he touched me. Because that can happen. And then you're busted. And you know what? People believe the girl. Let's just face it. So you better be careful. So once they turn 12, that's it. You got to be careful. I don't hug the ladies of our church unless they're over 70 years of age. I mean, I think it's pretty safe. You got to be careful. It's not good for a man to touch a woman. So you guys, when you go home and you're hanging with those girls and you're putting your hand on their back or you're putting your hand on their side or worse, the Bible says not to do it. Why? Lest to avoid fornication. We're drawn by sight. Sight, the things we see excite us. Do you know what excites a woman? Touch. When you touch her, you put your hand on her, that excites them. So the Bible says don't do it, because if she gets to that place where she becomes excited, then she drops her guard, and we as men, when that happens, then become aggressive. He says don't do it. Look what else it says in verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now, could I implement what we've been talking about in here? Let every man look only at the woman who has become his wife. Not the woman that's going to be his wife, not the woman that could be his wife, not the woman that he wants to be his wife, the woman that his wife, the only woman you should ever see again in that same setting as pornography is your wife. And if you'll guard yourself, and if you'll tell yourself, and you'll prepare yourself, you can do that. If you don't, you could lose a wife. Let me read a letter for you. This letter was written by a lady that I counseled with. She writes it to her husband, Kevin. I met you when we were going through the worst moment of your life. Your wife had cheated on you, left you for another man, and had taken your children away from you. You were down to visiting the boys every 2 weeks. You had fought to keep the marriage together, trying to win her back. Yet it was a failed attempt. We became friends. We talked about all the problems and hurts you felt by being betrayed by one person you gave your whole life and heart to. God gave you a second chance. This morning, I left. My life came crashing down in front of me. Why? Because I forgot my phone and ran home to get it, only to find my husband committing the same gross sin that destroyed his life and his boy's life. I believed you when you said that you were different from other guys. I admired how you turned away from women dressed immodestly. I was proud that you were guarding your eyes. It made me feel special and appreciated. I'm still proud that you chose to do that in those times. I'm saddened and deeply hurt that you chose to stop. I'm broken because of this choice. I don't understand why you didn't first think of your commitment you made to God on October 11, 2008, or the commitment you made to me. That was their wedding date. I don't understand why you chose to do this when you knew exactly how I would feel. I don't understand why you would risk your marriage like this after having everything you went through. I don't understand why you would decide that it would be a good idea to defile our marriage and our home with that trash. Why didn't you think of me? Why didn't you think of your testimony? Why didn't you think of our boys? Why didn't you think of God? Do we honestly mean so little? Does your self-gratification mean more to you than your testimony, wife, and children? I wanted to leave. The first thought in my head was, leave and go away. Drive and never come back. Declare grounds for divorce. I couldn't do that, though. I don't want that. I want my husband. I want the man I chose to marry through good and bad. I decided a month ago I would not allow myself to bash your character and who you were. I chose not to allow this incident to ruin what I have been working on in my life with Christ. I don't want to allow it to ruin the life that we have. And here's what happened. This guy and his wife were having some marital problems, and he decides to go to another city and he buys a pornographic video. He has a day off. He stays home. His wife goes to work. And when she goes to work, he sits down and he pops the video in. As the video comes up, in the first 2 minutes of the video, his wife, who forgot her cell phone, comes running back in the door and comes in the living room. Bam! Pornography on the television. Fellas, how do you think you'd feel if, while in the midst of watching pornography or looking at pornography, your mom walked in the room? That'd be a great feeling, wouldn't it? Hey, mom, I'm just looking out some naked girls here. That'd be great. How many would want your sister to catch you doing that? This is this guy's wife. I want to tell you that I would say probably 50% of the men who get caught doing pornography when married lose their wives. There's an emotional disconnect. I have a couple that I'm counseling right now. She found him watching pornography. He was staying up late at night. He was watching pornography. And she said, "Pastor, I fell out of love with him, and I don't think I could ever love him again." They live together, but that's it. Fellas, I'm telling you, this is a serious problem. And some of you have a very serious problem, and you know it. And today, I think you need to make that break. Mine eye affecteth my heart. You got to turn that stuff off. You've got to make a decision. You've got to have the character to say, "I'm not going to do it." Are you going to see it again? Probably. But what are you going to do when you see it? Turn away. Get away. Run away. Run away. Run away. Or it'll eat you up like a drug. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to be honest. This won't go past this room. Nobody else is going to know this. How many of you guys would say, "Pastor Stone, I have a problem. I'm already addicted to that stuff." Would you slip your hand up and hold it for just a moment? I'm already addicted and I know it. I can't leave it alone. I can't leave it alone. Thank you. Put your hands down. How many of you say, "Brother Stone, I've seen it and I'm afraid that I might be drawn into that stuff"? Hold your hands up. Oh, man. That's a lot of guys. Put your hands down. How many say, "Brother Stone, I've only seen it, and I really don't have a problem with it. I that's not a problem for me. I know it right now, and I praise the Lord. I know it's there. I know it's available. I'm not drawn that way." Would you slip your hand up and hold it and say, "That's me"? God bless you guys. Amen. Thank you. All right, now look up here. I want you to do something for me today. Only if you mean it. Only if you mean it. If today you say, "Brother Stone, that is a problem. I have seen it. Maybe I am addicted to it. Maybe it's something that I really struggle with," I'd like to pray with you guys today. And I'd like to make a pact today. I'm going to make a pact with you. You make a pact with me. To the best of our ability, we're going to fight that thing. If we get where we struggle to the point where we can't handle it, we're going to call somebody like Brother Pouts. We're going to call Brother Colin. We're going to get some of these other men. We're going to say, hey, I'm struggling. Can you help me? Let's promise to do that. And just say, hey, man, remember we talked at camp? We talked to Brother Stone? I'm having problems with that. You don't have to get into it deep. You're like, oh, man, man, I'm struggling. Pray together. Hey, man, where are you getting it? On my computer. Let's get rid of that computer. How many of you have a computer in your room? If you do, you're 90% more chance of getting involved in that. Put your computer out in the living room where people can see where you're at. A lot of guys use their phones. If you got a phone and you can't control that, you tell your dad, Dad, I got to get rid of my internet access on the phone. You say, but man, I love it. Hey, do you want to lose a marriage or lose the internet? Do you want to lose your purity or lose the internet? You want to lose the chance of marrying a beautiful girl because you can't stop looking at some image of some street trash? If you today say, Pastor Sean, I'm going to stand with you. Would you stand today and we'll have a word of prayer together? I'm going to bond with you today. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to fight that stuff. I'm going to do my best to fight it. Today, I'm going to make a change. Today, here's what I told the girls. In Psalm 23, God says, or the psalmist wrote, he restoreth my soul. Today, some of you are thinking, but I've already seen it. What can I do? Today, we say, God, restore my soul. Cleanse my heart and my mind. God, help me to forget those things. God, let me today begin a brand new life so that when you do stand at the altar, and you say to that young lady, I love you and nobody else, you can mean that in your heart. All right? Do you mean it? Let's pray. Father, help these guys and help me and Brother Pouts. We're not immune to this. In fact, Father, being married, it's even harder for us sometimes. And God, I pray that you'd help me today to be honest with these guys and be honest with myself. And I pray that you'd help these other male counselors to be able to stand in front of these guys and say, hey, we can help you because we've fought through these things. God, I pray that you bless this time today and bless these guys. We need young men that are pure. These young ladies are dying to have a guy that has kept themselves for them. And God, we say, well, I haven't had a physical relationship, but as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And God, if we've thought those things, we've already committed that sin in our hearts. God, help us today to be clean. Help us today to be men. Help us today to stand strong and fight this wicked drug called pornography. And all of God's men said, amen.